Hello and welcome to the Private Labeler Show, where we are dedicated to helping you take your Amazon business to the next level. Now, here is your host, Nick Landowski.
Whoa. Hey, everybody. Nick here. Welcome to episode number 4 of the Private Labeler Show. I'm your terrific host here. How the heck are you? How is your February going? I hope it is going as terrific as mine is. And again, welcome to the Private Labeler Show. If you're not familiar with the show, we are in episode 4 here, and I am dedicated to helping 1,000 people this year quit their jobs that they hate and start an online business, preferably an Amazon private label FBA type business. But if you are sick and tired of being a cubicle zombie in the rat race, then this is your podcast. So I'm dedicated to helping 1,000 people get out of the rat race and start an online business so that they can have the freedom that they so deserve. So this entire podcast and website of Private Labeler Show is dedicated to you. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about how to find a great supplier to actually produce your private label product. And before I get into that, though, I want to just kind of throw out a few house cleaning notes and a little fun fact here for you. So I've been reading the book or listening to the audiobook, The Everything Store. It has to do with kind of like the history of Amazon. There's a lot of really cool stuff in there. And there's kind of an interesting fact I wanted to share. And did you know that Amazon was originally supposed to be called Kadabra? But somebody talked some sense into Mr. Bezos and says, hey, dude, you know, that's cool. But people are going to kind of interpret that to sound like cadaver. And he said, yeah, you know what? You're right. Let's go with Amazon. So I think he made the right choice. So there's a little fun Amazon fact for you. And if you haven't been to privatelabelershow.com, please check the blog site out. It's actually the blog that hosts the podcast. And if you haven't subscribed yet to the show, please do that. And also, join the Facebook group on there. So there's a private mastermind Facebook group. Please join up on that. I'd really appreciate it. Let's get the conversation going. You can get in the Facebook group, start asking questions, and join the community. So without further ado, let's kind of jump into the actual show here. So in the episode 3, if you haven't listened to that one, make sure you go back and check it out. We talked extensively about how to actually narrow down the process to find a product to start private labeling and selling on Amazon. And in this episode, we're going to take that kind of to the next step of, you know, how do you start talking to suppliers? Where do you find suppliers? Ultimately, how do you narrow down the gigantic list of potential suppliers to produce and create the item or the product that you want to eventually sell on Amazon? So let's get started here. Obviously, many of you have probably heard of the website Alibaba.com. That's kind of like the, in this industry here, that's just kind of like the default main site that a lot of people go to when they want to get their products private labeled or, you know, start selling through Amazon FBA. That's the site that just about everybody kind of just default goes to. You don't have to go through that site. There are a few other sites you could also check out. One of them being globalsources.com. So globalsources.com. Fairly similar to Alibaba. Big difference, though, is that the Global Sources website tends to vet their suppliers a little bit better than Alibaba does. And if you've been selling on Alibaba for a while, you know that sometimes there's just a lot of riffraff suppliers on there sometimes. And it's definitely been cleaned up over the past few years and months. But Global Sources is a little bit more, friendly, meaning you're not going to find so many bad suppliers. So they do vet them a little bit better. And also you can check out AliExpress.com, which essentially is used if you want to kind of just test out a potential idea with smaller quantities. And that site kind of makes that possible for you to do in a much simpler fashion. than the other sites. So for this example, let's just say that we narrow down our idea of our private label product. Like, let's say we want to sell some grilling accessories and we want to sell a grill brush. That's the first idea that we have. We ran our numbers from the last episode. We determined, yes, this is a potentially really profitable area to get into. And we want to go ahead now and find a supplier and get that conversation going and ultimately, you know, create an order for these grill brushes or whatever it is in your case. Could be anything. So you're going to go to Alibaba.com and they have a search bar right there. If you pull that site up, let's just say simply type in grill brushes or grilling brushes, something, you know, main keyword wise for your actual product. And you're going to get this huge list of, you know, numerous pages, if not more, of search results that you kind of have to sort through. And this is where it kind of gets a little overwhelming when you're first starting out. You're going to see tons of different variations of a grill brush or the products. And the biggest thing I can tell you right off the bat is to just filter things down right away. So if you're on Alibaba, simply look up near the top and there's three different radio buttons you can click. One of them is trade assurance, one of them is gold supplier, and the other one is assessed supplier. So what I would do if I were you is I would just click all three of those, and that way it's going to filter out all of the suppliers that do not meet all those requirements. So in my opinion, you're going to want to start out with a supplier that offers trade assurance, which is Alibaba's program that they have that they're kind of expanding all the time. And I'm not going to go over all the details of it now, but you're going to want to just make sure that, yes, they do offer that and that they are a gold supplier and, you know, they are an assessed supplier. So those are just some filters that Alibaba has on there to kind of make you feel a little bit more comfortable and confident in some of these suppliers that they have on there, that they've kind of been vetted at least to some degree, that they're at least somewhat serious. And again, if you want to know a little bit more about what each thing means, go to Alibaba. You'll get, you know, the exact definition of how a supplier, you know, meets those specific criteria. So one thing I just want to throw out there, though, just because a supplier, for example, says or it shows on their page that, you know, they are or they do accept trade assurance, for example, or whatever, just because something says something on a website like Alibaba, don't take that as 100% fact, okay? Always check. I actually, real quick story here, I had a supplier a while back that I thought and I assumed was a supplier that would accept trade assurance. Long story short, I spent a lot of time negotiating with them, and at the end of the day, when I wanted to, you know, pay for my supply or my order, I assumed they were trade assurance or they accepted trade assurance because it said it on their page, and it turned out that they didn't. So it was a big little hoopla there. So that kind of taught me a lesson that I'll pass on to you. You just have to ask. Just because it says doesn't mean anything. Okay. So what you're going to do is, once you kind of, you know, run those search results, is you're going to just start searching around, you know, looking at the pictures and each supplier to kind of see who or what is, you know, a potential product that kind of closely resembles what you want. So you're going to see all different variations of grill brushes, things like that. And you're kind of wanted to start to go through the listings and just see if you see anything that interests you, that, you know, in your mind or your vision, things that you could see yourself selling, like, you know, a specific type of grill brush or whatever. And just start clicking on some of the links there, and it'll pull up their supplier information and all that kind of cool stuff. What you're going to want to do is just kind of determine, you know, how does the listing look? Does it, some listings are incredible. They're very well thought out. They're easy to understand. Sometimes the listings are really bare and there's not much information. And I can kind of, you know, just use my gut to go, okay, this particular supplier has a really well crafted listing here. It's got great pictures. It's got great descriptions, an FAQ section. I mean, it's really done. It's done really well. I can kind of just feel comfortable right off the bat with that potential supplier and, you know, give it some more attention to start diving in deeper. Whereas other suppliers that kind of just have these, you know, rinky-dink listings with just bare information, I usually just kind of just don't even pay attention to those and just move on to the next one. Now, you're going to want to look at some basic things like how long have they been in business? So some suppliers might say they've been in business for 12 years or 15 years or whatever it may be. It's usually a really good indicator that, you know, they're pretty good to deal with. They're a cool supplier to deal with, because they wouldn't have been able to make it that long if they were a really horrible supplier. They'd probably go out of business. So take things like that in consideration. If it's a supplier that just started out, maybe they only have 1 year of experience according to the page, that doesn't necessarily mean don't deal with them. Just know that maybe they're newer to what they're doing and they're a younger business with not as much experience. So just kind of have that in the back of your mind. Now, other things you're going to see on those pages are things like MOQ, which means minimum order quantity. You're also going to see payment terms. You're going to see all these things that you're going to get accustomed to learning about. Now, again, just because whatever is on that Alibaba page, you know, don't ever take that as fact, like I just mentioned before. So if they say they have a minimum order quantity of 1,000 or 500 or whatever, that's basically the minimum order that they're going to accept from you. But again, it's not fact. So just because it says minimum order quantity 500 doesn't necessarily mean that they're not willing to go down to 100 or 200 units to start out with. Again, it's just kind of a ballpark that you can kind of gauge things off of, but you always just want to ask. So the other things too, like payment terms, you'll see that on there. Now, most suppliers are on there. They're going to accept wire transfers. They'll accept all kind of the basic payment terms that you would want, you know, Western Union, whatever it might be. Some of them accept PayPal, some don't. You know, again, just because you don't see it there, don't assume, just ask. Now, kind of going a little bit further, let's say you're looking at a potential grill brush that interests you and it looks like a really great listing. One thing that you can kind of do is on that Alibaba page is click on, there's a little link for like the company page that will take you to everything that they make. Besides that product, and it'll give this huge list of like all these different things that they make. You can, again, if you're looking for grill brushes, you might be able to see, wow, they make 20 other types of grill brushes here, and that way you can get the full listing right then and there that didn't obviously all show up in your original search. So that's what I always like to do. I like to see everything that that company makes just to get a feel for what type of industry they're in. You know, maybe the item that you're looking at is just kind of a one-off item compared to their, you know, regular items. Maybe they make pet products and then for some reason they make a grill brush. I see that all the time where they specialize in one thing, but yet they'll still make a few other types of products. And if you go on their actual website, like their company website outside of Alibaba, you'll be able to get a sometimes a full picture for everything that they make. And you might find products on their normal company website outside of Alibaba. You might find products on there that are like, wow, that is the exact grill brush that I want or that I want to look at. And it's not listed on Alibaba. And the reason why, sometimes some of those items are so new on their regular website that they just haven't even updated their Alibaba site to reflect that. So that might be an opportunity for you to jump up on the competition in that area and go, okay, you got this really awesome grill brush. It's exactly what you're kind of looking for. And nobody else knew that it existed because it just wasn't even on the Alibaba pages yet. So you can usually get that if you go directly to their company website outside of the Alibaba pages. So just a little tidbit there. So as you kind of go through, yeah, you're going to want to find you know, a list of suppliers that you, just from the face value, looks like they have some good listings and you're interested in their specific type of grill brush or product. And you're definitely going to want to get a spreadsheet for this, because this is where it gets a little confusing to know who the heck you were talking to, what you talked about, what products specifically, things like that. So bust out a spreadsheet and just start dropping the links to these products in your spreadsheet and just sort your spreadsheet out appropriately, organize it, you know, so you know exactly what's going on, because you're going to probably have 10, 15, 20 suppliers now at this point that you're going to start a conversation with, and it gets really confusing with, you know, knowing and you know, understanding what you said to certain people and things like that. So just start a spreadsheet to organize your thoughts here and your conversations. So what you're going to want to do then right through Alibaba's system is start sending suppliers a message. So you can send them an instant message and through their messaging system. And basically my rule of thumb on this is this: you're going to be dealing with a lot of suppliers initially. You're going to want to create somewhat of a blanket template message for all these suppliers, okay? Now, questions that you're probably going to want to have in this first message, just to kind of get it out there. You're going to want to know, can your item or can the item that they're selling on there, can it be private labeled? Meaning, can you put your logo on it? Things like that. Can you customize packaging? So on and so forth. So you would think, well, yeah, they all should be able to be private labeled. Well, that's not true at all. So sometimes they're just going to sell you the exact item and they're not going to do anything more. They're not going to do any modifications. You can't put a logo on it, whatever. Now, a lot of times their actual page site will tell you that right up front, whether it can or cannot be, but not always. So just ask, hey, can this be private labeled? It's a yes or no question. And then you're going to want to ask, how much are samples and are they refundable if you place an order? So a lot of times if you ask, hey, if I place an order with you after I ordered samples, can you just reimburse me for that? More often than not, they're going to say, sure, no problem. And from past episodes here, yes, samples do cost money. And again, you know, how much? Well, that does vary. So just know that that's a cost of or a price of doing business. It's an investment, right? So don't complain that the manufacturer or the supplier is going to charge you, you know, $40 for a simple sample. Well, they do have to ship it and it does cost money and it's their time. And if it's refundable towards the order, you know, no harm, no foul. So just ask how much the samples are, just so you kind of know. And then also, you know, what are the payment terms for the order? So they'll tell you, you know, it's 30% down, 70% on completion of the order, or it might be 50-50, things like that. So start the conversation there. Ask them what the payment terms are for the order. They'll tell you how they kind of want to do it. And again, it's not set in stone, but just get a feel for where they're at. And then also ask them, you know, can you modify the item? Can you change it? You know, let's say you see that Gorilla Brush out there and it's not perfect. Like, you have ideas based on your research to go, I can make it better by doing X, Y, and Z to it. And that's your differentiator to make it better so that it's going to be a, you know, better seller than the competition out there. Just ask, can you modify it? So sometimes they might say, yeah, absolutely. What do you got in mind? And you just tell them and they'll ask the engineers and then they'll, you know, give you the thumbs up or give you suggestions. Sometimes they might say, yeah, it's not worth their time. Okay. That, you know, it all depends. So usually if you want to do modifications, usually they're probably going to say yes, but they're going to say, well, the minimum amount that you have to order is going to go, you know, into the thousands then, because it's got to be worth their time too. They're not going to, you know, do all these modifications if you're only going to order 500 of them. In certain cases, they'll allow it, but just ask. Now, also ask them, you know, do they accept trade assurance? So if you're on Alibaba, if you're just starting out, you want to use trade assurance. It's a pretty great little program that they're kind of building out there. Great service. Just ask, you know, if they accept it. It's yes, no question. And also just ask them their lead time. What are they, you know, how busy are they right now? So right now it's the start of kind of Chinese New Year for a lot of suppliers. So they're going to be backed up quite a bit once they get back to work. And that's going to throw things off for a while. You know, they're going to have to catch up on a lot of backlog orders and things like that. So you just want to ask them, you know, what's a general lead time for, you know, a production run, just to kind of get that conversation going. Now, what you're going to do then, once you send those questions out, you're going to wait for some responses. Now, sometimes people will tell you, well, you know, when you send that message out, make sure that you're signing it as like, that you're like a purchasing agent or that you're the owner of XYZ company or whatever, you know, so that they are more apt or likely to respond. That's something you could do. I don't think it's 100% necessary all the time, but you know, if you want to kind of make your company or you seem a little bit bigger than you are at the time, you know, maybe put down your website if you have it, things like that. Some people say, hey, that's just a little bit bigger of a chance that they're actually going to respond to you, thinking that you're actually somebody that's, you know, a company that's got money and then, you know, follows through on things and treats this serious. You know, you don't have to do that, in my opinion, but it doesn't hurt to sign it as like, you know, this is Nick, I am the purchasing agent for XYZ company, things like that. So do with that information what you will. It's a little tip there. I don't always do that. Doesn't always seem to matter. But you're going to send that off and you're going to wait for these responses. Now, sometimes certain suppliers will respond back within a day. Sometimes it's a few days. Sometimes you won't get any responses back. My rule of thumb is if you're shooting out like 15 to 20 of these messages, you're going to get a handful of them that just never respond for whatever reason. Who knows? Pretty much put them on the list of forget it. Okay. Start dealing with the people that are responding and then judge kind of how quick they respond and, you know, how well they communicate back. So you have to think more often than not, you're going to be dealing with Chinese suppliers. Not always, because maybe you're dealing with somebody from Pakistan or India or whatever. But you're going to want to deal with or kind of evaluate how well they respond back. The communication is important. So, you know, are they even answering your questions? Sometimes, you know, if you send off like a really nice email or message, you know, with like 5-6 questions, they won't even bother reading it. They'll just start sending you quotes and things like that and, you know, really jumping the gun. So evaluate that. Do they actually break down your questions and give you answers to it? For the ones that don't do a good job, use your gut instincts. Usually just delete it and move on. And then you're going to get a handful that, you know, they communicate well and it's pretty reasonable to communicate back with them. They have, you know, somewhat decent English or whatever language it is that you're trying to speak to them in. So take that all into consideration. Make those notes in your spreadsheet. And after you narrowed it down to maybe a handful of suppliers that you're interested in dealing with based on the information you got, what I would recommend that you do is ask them to take the conversation over to Skype. Or a lot of them tend to use WhatsApp. I don't particularly use WhatsApp. I use Skype. Most of them are comfortable with that. I'll just say, hey, you know, here's my ID on Skype. Can we move this off of the Alibaba messaging system and go over to Skype? Reason why I do that is it just seems a little bit more personal at that point. I'll even ask them, you know, here's my ID. You know, do you mind if we have a voice conversation? You know, or we could just continue chatting through messaging and leave it up to them. There's a few suppliers that, you know, spoke that I've dealt with that have spoke very good English. And are comfortable just saying it, you know, saying things through Skype versus typing. Some that said, no, I prefer collecting my thoughts and then, you know, sending messages that way. That's fine. But just ask some, you know, actually speak really, really good English and aren't afraid to actually just have a voice conversation, which in my opinion is extremely effective and time saving. So take the conversation over to the Skype. And then what you're going to want to do is, you know, at this point, they're kind of narrowed down, but you're going to want to start asking about the minimum order quantity, so the MOQ. Now, again, just whatever they have on their page, don't take that as fact, okay? Just take that as like it's a general guideline. So, you know, ask them, you know, hey, can we do 500 or 1,000 or whatever it is? Or even ask them too, hey, we are just testing this product to our consumers right now. Would you mind if we did a test run of, you know, 200 or even 100? Just to gauge and see what they say. If you can get a really low MOQ just to test the item out, to test the concept out, that's, you know, if that's one of your goals and you're not really 100% pot committed on this item yet, you might want to do that. However, if you're really certain on it and you're comfortable with your numbers and you're like, nope, I want 1,000 or 2,000 or whatever, if you're that dedicated to this item and you're that certain of it, just know that usually, obviously, when you go up in the quantity that you're ordering, you're going to pay a lot less per unit. So you'll eventually, or at the end of the day, you're going to have more profit per item. So you have to evaluate your budget, but just get like a general, frame for what they're talking about for their quantities and then their breakdowns per unit. Get that information from them. You know, how much? What's it going to cost if I do 500? What's it going to cost if I do 1,000? Put that in your spreadsheet. So not only the pricing info, but get a general ballpark on shipping too. So they'll be able to give you shipping quotes on, let's say, 1,000 or 500 or 200. Put that all in your spreadsheet. And usually they're going to ask you, you know, how do you want it shipped? Well, if you're just starting out, just to make things easy, you might want to just stick with air shipping, okay, for your first order. And you can go with like DHL or UPS, and they'll be able to give you rates on what it's going to cost for them and just put that in your spreadsheet. Now, just use those as general numbers. You can obviously arrange your own shipping to maybe pay less, But just for now, just put that in all those numbers in your spreadsheet just to see where everybody's coming in at. I've had suppliers before that were trying to gouge me on shipping. I got shipping rates from a whole bunch of different suppliers, and they're all right in the same area of China. And, you know, one of them wanted to charge me almost double the shipping rates of the other suppliers. So I knew that, you know, something wasn't right there. So I just eliminated that person from my equation. Didn't feel comfortable with it at that point. Now, at this point, once you kind of get a narrow down of maybe, you know, a handful of suppliers that the numbers are coming in right, it's, you're comfortable with it, the communication is there, your gut instinct just says, okay, I want to take this further. Now you're going to want to order some samples, okay? Now, sometimes people say, do I really need to order samples? Is it really that necessary? Yeah, this is a business. This is just something that you should be doing if you have never dealt with this manufacturer before and you're in this for the long haul. Order some samples. Now, again, find two or three vendors and start the conversation about samples. Can you customize those samples? Can you get it the right color that you want? Can you have your logo put on the samples? Sometimes they might say, no, we're just going to send you what we have available here. It's a generic sample. Take it or leave it. Sometimes they say, absolutely. You know, tell us what you want. What colors do you want? What modifications do you want to make? You'd be surprised in what some the vendors are willing to do for even for a sample. So don't assume, just ask. Okay. Now, when they how do you order your samples? Well, set up a PayPal account if you don't already have a PayPal account. Okay. And that's what most suppliers are going to take the payment from. They're going to send you essentially like a little invoice and say, hey, pay us X amount of dollars for these samples to this PayPal address. You're going to send it over and through PayPal to their ID. And once they receive that, then they're going to send you the samples and ship them wherever you want them shipped. So usually that's going to take a couple of days. You'll get your samples. And from there, you're going to start evaluating those samples. Maybe what you've seen on their website compared to what actually showed up was completely different. You're like, wow, what is this? You know, it's garbage. Or, wow, it's beautiful. It's even better than I thought. So, you know, start to put that into consideration. You know, how long did they respond before they sent them? What did the samples show up looking like? How was the packaging? All that stuff. So, you know, put that into your spreadsheet just so you kind of know. And at this point, you should start to kind of really start forming an opinion on which supplier you ultimately want to go with, okay? You kind of have a feel for it at this point based on the numbers and just how you've dealt with them so far and who you're comfortable with. Now, also, too, ask them about packaging options. So every item's a little bit different. And just ask them, you know, hey, what's your default, like, packaging options for this item we're talking about? Maybe just say, hey, what are other customers doing? And they'll show you. They'll send you pictures. Or even, hey, can you send me some other packaging options in this package for the sample? Just to kind of give you, you know, the full scope of what they're capable of. And, you know, if you want to upgrade your packaging right away based on, like, maybe something the competitor's doing, you can choose to do that and start talking, how much extra is that going to cost me? So just ask questions, okay? Don't just, you know, feel like you know, you have to do with what they're telling you. Just ask. Now, you know, running your numbers at this point is something you're going to want to do after you kind of get comfortable with a certain supplier. And just because they tell you it's going to cost you, you know, $4 for, you know, per unit for, you know, 1,000 units on this and whatever, doesn't mean that that's not negotiable. You can absolutely try to negotiate these terms at this point. So just, you know, don't kind of sell your hand right away. You're going to want to, you know, kind of just play this out. You know, this is negotiation points right here. You don't want to, you know, just assume that this is the prices that I have to pay because that's just what they said. So maybe just sit on it a few days, think about it. Get them kind of coming to you, you know, kind of asking you, you know, what you're interested in, and, you know, ask them simple questions, you know, how flexible are these prices? You know, is this your best offer? Things like that. And a lot of times the person that you're dealing with on the other end of Skype or the computer is just somebody that's, you know, the gatekeeper. They're just kind of basic communicators at this point. They're maybe not an ultimate decision maker. So you can say, hey, can you ask, you know, your supervisor, whatever it is, you know, can you give me a better deal on this? If you give me a better deal, I would, you know, and if things go well, I'd like to work with you long term, like to create this into a long term relationship. things like that. It doesn't hurt to ask, okay? What's the worst that can happen is they're going to say, no, these are our terms, take it or leave it. Okay, at least that, you know, at that point, you know. You might even tell them, you know, hey, a similar supplier that offers roughly the same exact product is offering it for this. I really would rather do business with you. However, price is important to me because I want to remain profitable. And would you be willing to kind of go down to this and, you know, take care of me that way? And I'll just make sure I keep ordering from you if the relationship goes well. So, you know, there's different terms and tactics or, you know, tactics you can try. It doesn't hurt to ask. So once you kind of get your numbers, you know, from them, have them in your spreadsheet, what's going to cost per unit. You know, they might charge you, you know, for different things that you're doing for the modifications, for different colors, different packaging options. Just add up all that stuff into a cost per unit. Get your shipping costs from them. And, you know, for your first order, just try to kind of keep it basic. You know, just like I said, get air, DHL, UPS, factor all that in and, you know, add all that up to kind of know exactly where you're at. And just really think about it. And then it kind of comes down to, well, how are you going to pay for this, right? What do those terms look like? And a lot of terms for these suppliers, they're going to want 30% down. So you're going to give them 30% of the order total. And then once the order is done, they're going to want the remaining 70%, okay? So that is negotiable. Sometimes suppliers have come to me and says, nope, 50-50, period. So everything is just worth asking, okay? 30-70 is fairly typical. I'd feel comfortable with that. Usually, you know, like I said, most of the times they do as well. So once you kind of narrow some of that stuff down, it's time to decide, you know, do you want to go through with this? And ultimately, just as long as all your numbers check out and you're ready to do this, it's just about taking action, okay? This is one of the points where most people get to and they just stop because it means sending a bunch of money to somebody that they don't really know, that they're kind of trying to trust with their fingers crossed, and they're going to send them a bunch of money and they're going to fear that they're going to take the money and run and not deal with them. Well, to kind of combat that, if you're going through Alibaba, you know, go with Trade Assurance if you just don't really feel comfortable with this supplier at this point, because if it's your first order, you're going to, you know, naturally be a little bit apprehensive. You know, try out the Trade Assurance option, assuming that they offer that, and you can pay for it in, you know, various ways. With Trade Assurance, you can even use your darn credit card now to put it on your credit card. Or, you know, a typical way to pay for it is just through a wire transfer. That's what a lot of them prefer. I personally, for my orders, I've done it both ways. And I kind of like the Trade Assurance option now that Alibaba's kind of bored out on their site. So, you know, try whatever you're most comfortable with. And just know that, you know, there's a really good chance that that supplier is going to do you right, okay, that they're not going to screw you. They're in business to make money. They're a business just like any other. If your gut is saying something isn't right about them, I don't necessarily trust them, then, you know, move on. But if you're at this point, you more than likely trust this supplier enough to place that order. So at this point, what you're going to want to do then is start those that talk of those terms, how you're going to pay for it. And if you're really, you know, gung-ho on this and this is the step you're going to take, you're going to want to have obviously like your graphics and or your logo kind of thought of or created at this point, because they're going to say, hey, send me the files for all this stuff. Send me the instructions, you know, how do you want it to look? What are the colors? You know, maybe you haven't had that conversation yet. You're going to want to get that stuff in, you know, ready to go so that you can send them all the graphics files, your logo, things like that, so that they know where to put it and, you know, how it's supposed to look so that they can kind of create the prototype or whatever it may be. And just know that, you know, that you can kind of take this slow and it's like just have all that kind of ready. And that way, the faster you give them that information, the faster they can start on your order. Okay. So once you send them, you know, your 30% or the first deposit on the order, give them the instructions. This is what I want done. Just let them know, hey, I'm going to be following up on this. I'm going to want pictures. I'm going to want updates on everything that's going on. Okay. Now, another thing that we haven't really talked about yet is getting an inspection. Okay. And that could probably be reserved for an entire another podcast on, you know, why you'd want an inspection, how to do all that. And that's what we'll probably do. We'll do like a shorter episode on inspections. But just know that you're more than likely going to want to have an inspection on site after that original order is completed. So stay tuned. Again, we'll probably do that on another episode there. If you've never dealt with this supplier before, I would highly recommend that you spring the extra money for an inspection. And again, I'll cover that later. But for now, we're at this point, you know, you place that order and just a matter then of kind of waiting, because they're then going to put you in line or in queue, because they do have other customers that they deal with. And they're not just going to immediately start on your order that same day. It's going to take a little while. But just, you know, make sure you're just communicating with them. Be professional. Be courteous to them, you know, as always. Don't harass them like, hey, when's it going to start? And don't be mean about anything. Quick story about me being courteous to one of my suppliers. Once I placed an order through this particular supplier, they had told me, oh, yeah, we're really backed up right now. It's going to be, you know, weeks before they can get it even started, and they'll have it to me as soon as possible. And I kind of just kept asking them almost daily, like in a nice way, hey, is there any way that you can start on my order a little bit sooner? I would really love to have it by this day or whatever. Here's my deadline. Just being courteous. And after a while, they actually were willing to bump me up, as you know, they wanted to take care of me. And I got my my order completed like, you know, a week or two in advance before they originally even, what they originally told me. So, you know, just be persistent, but always be courteous and just following up, you know, with the person you're dealing with. How's your day going? You know, how's everything going? I ask them for updates. Can you send me pictures of, you know, what's going on? You know, maybe the item, that the prototype that they're creating, things like that. So usually they're probably going to do that anyways, but just be a little bit, you know, out there saying, hey, you want to be part of this. It's a little bit nerve-wracking that you don't necessarily know what's going on because you're not there. So that kind of wraps up this episode, guys. So the key point I mentioned was just people at that point of ready to give the payment, you know, might be talking about a couple thousand dollars here at this point. They're ready to give that 30% and they freeze, right? And I think we could all say we've been there, where you're like, geez, do I really do this? This is maybe a lot of money. You know, then the what ifs start popping in your head. You know, what if they take it and run? What if things go bad and, you know, I never get my items? Whatever it may be, it's going to go through your head. But I'm just here to tell you that what if things go right? What if you get your items earlier? What if they get to Amazon and it's a raving success and you're making, you know, really great profit off each unit? You know, what if this changes your life, just this one step? So instead of thinking of the negative, think about what good can come out of this, okay? So it's just about taking action, having that investment ready to go, feeling comfortable in your due diligence and your research, and just ultimately going with your gut, saying that this is what I'm going to do, and, you know, this is a big decision, but I'm going to see it through because, you know, this is a business and I'm going to change my life. This Amazon business is going to change my life. So if you have questions, guys, on this, please, you know, join the Facebook group, ask them in there. If you go on privatelabelershow.com, you should be able to enter at the bottom of the page some comments. If you have comments about the episode, questions, concerns, anything like that, anything that you're confused about, just fire away. Also, too, if you subscribe, you know, send me an email if you want a question for me to answer on a podcast. I'll be willing to do that. So check it out on also iTunes and Stitcher if you're more comfortable with those platforms. I do have the podcast up on those platforms as well. Really enjoyed giving you guys this information. It's just about taking action, as I mentioned. And I will talk to you in the next episode. And you guys have a wonderful day. Thanks. Bye.